Hey, everybody. Hey, you got Adam here this week. First off, I'm going to have to apologize because I am in my garage. So if the sound quality is terrible, it's because I don't have a studio. And it's pretty late right now, and so I can't really do this podcast inside of my vehicle like I usually do. Otherwise, I won't be able to see my Bible. So bear with me. I know this is kind of annoying because I can hear it in my headphones. But please bear with me. So first off, I want to apologize because Steve and I have kind of been on a bit of a hiatus. And this podcast is not very well planned out. It is prayed out, I guess you could say. But neither of us have really been in a great place to get on here and share words of wisdom. But you know, we kind of been going through difficult seasons, each of us different, but still difficult seasons. And so wanted to get on here now and at least get something out to you folks because, well, we all go through these seasons. And through this, God has been gracious enough to teach me some things. And so I think I should probably share those with you. So, without going into a great amount of detail, none of my struggle seems very warranted. And I talked to a friend yesterday who's struggling too. He's struggling with some anxiety and some things like that. And he said the same thing. And it's something that we all say. We all minimize whatever it is that we're going through. You know, well, you know, I don't have it as bad as, you know, Mr. Smith over there, he's going through that thing. There's, you know, children in Africa starving, and at least my kids have food, or whatever the case. You know, at least I didn't get hit by that bus. But we tend to do that. We tend to minimize it, when really what we should be doing is what I've had to do is face it head on and figure out, why is this thing going on? And sometimes there's not a why. Sometimes you're not going to know this side of heaven. But in many of those cases, such as with my case, I needed to know how to attack it because I'm tired of being on the defense. And there's no reason that we have to be on defense. So, basically, I was given a different assignment at work, and that's not the only thing that's been bugging me. But I was given a different assignment at work, and it wasn't disciplinary. It wasn't anything like that, and it was just movement that needed to happen. And so, I'm in this new assignment, and it is what it is. It's still a good assignment. It's still what I signed up for. But what ended up happening is I no longer work as a team or as a small unit anymore. And so that was bothering me a lot. And I didn't know exactly what part of it was bothering me. But I shared the experience with my dad. And so he actually texted me that I should read James chapter 1. And apparently this microphone picks up everything because I can hear the cars going by. And of course, I know James 1 pretty well because it's something that I have spent a lot of time just reading through. I must have read James chapter 1 a dozen times at least. But it keeps coming up. And so right away I text my dad back that particular chapter in that particular book haunts me. And it's because it's really difficult. So I'm going to start in verse 2 here. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. That right there. Really? We're supposed to call it joy when we're going through trials. Okay. Well, that's pretty hard to swallow. And I've read that many times. And I suppose I've never actually just made it my own. It goes on to say, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Well, I would never claim to be mature. I think I'm probably a little bit more mature than I was 5 years ago. Maybe, maybe not. It depends on who you ask. But apparently, and for obvious reasons, God probably doesn't figure that I'm quite at the maturity level that I need to be at. Otherwise, why would God allow these trials, right? Well, I'm sure there's many reasons, but one of the reasons is so that we can mature, so that we can develop this spiritual perseverance. So here I am walking through this time in my life, and it seems just so insignificant. Okay, so what? And I tell myself that this is ridiculous. I shouldn't be discouraged. I shouldn't be feeling this way. It's not a demotion. It's not anything. It's just a change. And a little side note, yeah, I suppose I am a registered Republican, so change comes difficult for me. But, change doesn't have to be a bad thing. And I believe with all my heart that none of this happens without God's okay. I don't think any of this kind of stuff happens without God allowing it to happen. And I became very introverted, and I cut myself off from a lot of folks for a while, including you folks in this podcast. And so I got sick of it. And I decided that I'm going to take James chapter 1, verse 2, quite literally. And so when it says, consider it pure joy when you face trials, I decided, okay, I am going to find joy in this, and I'm going to praise God, and that's going to be my joy. And so like a lunatic in my car, on my way home, I had to make sure that I wasn't hot micing it, because they probably would have called me in. But anyway, I just started praising God. I sang a song from my heart that was, I'm sure, horrible, and I cannot sing, but I did it anyway. And I started singing about all the good things that God has done for me. I sang about, first and foremost, the crucifixion, that Jesus died for me to save me from death and destruction. And so I sang like a lunatic, and I kept singing praises to God. I may not have felt like it at the time, but I got so tired of being discouraged and dealing with being an introvert. And there's nothing wrong with being an introvert, but to the extent where I was cutting people off, and my own kids, who are too young to know any better, said, you know, what's wrong, Dad? And so it got to a point where it was just time to knock it off. And so that's what I did. I took this seriously. I took it, in legal terms, I took it prima facie. I took it at face value. And so I started to praise. And it was very interesting between the time that I made that decision and the time that I finished praising. It was kind of like walking into the chiropractor's office versus walking out. I could stand up straight again. The weight was off my shoulders, and I didn't have that darkness looming over me anymore. Now, I'm not saying that that's going to work for everybody, and I'm not saying that I'm a sane person, certainly not, but really, who is? So, but that worked for me. And then very shortly after that, that I had a conversation with my wife and I realized something. And this is something that's important to all of us, I think, especially when we go through these trials. So in my time as being on a critical incident response team, and that's not like a SWAT team, this is more of a team that responds for the mental wellness of others, I guess you could say. So after a critical incident, like maybe a shooting, maybe an infant fatality, something like that, it's a team of folks, peers, mental health professionals, and chaplains that make themselves available for folks that are having to deal with this stuff. And so anyway, all that to say that something that I've learned while being a part of that group is that there are several, I guess you could say, legs under being holding up this wellness table. A lot of people say, well, there's three legs. Okay, there's physical wellness, physical health. There is mental wellness or mental health, and there's spiritual health. Okay, there's those three. But I think we're discovering more and more that there's a fourth leg, and that is social wellness. And I don't mean social media. Please do not confuse the two. In fact, I from a lot of the folks that I talk to in the mental health professions, social media has done a lot more harm than good, it seems. But we here on Thin Line Believers, we like to focus on the spiritual wellness because I think that's an area that's needed more and more, especially the closer we get to the end of the world as we know it, which we can talk about that another time. You know, that's something I enjoy talking about. But we don't really spend much time on the other legs of this wellness table or chair or whatever, because that's really not necessarily our intent. So I have in the past had a conversation with Will Brenza. If you haven't listened to that one yet, it's called something like Jesus, CrossFit, and Coffee or something like that. But Will talks about physical wellness, and that's incredibly important. We have talked about mental health, mental wellness several times with some mental health professionals on here, and that's incredibly important. And obviously, we talk about spiritual wellness a lot. We don't really talk about the social wellness part. So I want to talk about that a little bit, and I'm going to probably not take too much time because I didn't take any notes. I just came out here with some thoughts and some things that I wanted to share with you fine folks. So anyway, yeah, so I have this conversation with my wife afterwards, and it finally hits me as I'm talking to her. And guys, let this be a lesson to you. Talk to your wife, because she's probably smarter than you, because they generally are. So anyway, having said that, I did talk to my wife about what I was dealing with, and it was no secret that I was dealing with some stuff, kind of cumulative, but I wanted to at least isolate something that I could work on. And finally it hit me that when I changed assignments, I lost my social health, I guess you could say. I lost my tribe. And so once I finally realized what it was that I was dealing with, I figured out that, okay, since I know what it is, I can work on it. And so that's what I've had to do. I've had to work on reestablishing some kind of communication, I guess, at very least. And if you don't have a good tribe. If you don't have a tribe that encourages you, a tribe that challenges you in your spiritual beliefs, and when I say challenge, I mean helps you to grow. I don't mean somebody that's going to bash it or bring it down. I mean somebody that's going to build you up in your walk with Christ. And what that means for me is I want people around me who know more than I do, and it doesn't take much. So I just have to be willing to actually make the connections. And so that's what I did, and it's helped immensely. So the two things that have helped me in this semi-difficult season, stressful season at least, have been praising God and giving thanks for what you have, and being nearer to my brothers, even my blood brother. And so the Bible says that iron, as iron sharpens iron, we're to do that for one another. And so unless you have somebody who can challenge you in that, it's not going to sharpen you. And you're going to become dull, and a dull knife is useless. And that's what I found out for me, is I felt useless. I felt anxious, even though the word says to be anxious for nothing. I was reading the Bible like I always do. But if you read the Bible and you don't take it as it was meant to be taken and do it, then it's pointless. It's pointless. You can fill your head with all kinds of words and you can go nowhere. So after that, kind of an interesting thing for me, I'm trying to pay more attention to the Holy Spirit, I guess you could say. I'm trying to be more available, and I'm trying to be looking, I guess, for the God's communications for me. I know that came out kind of weird, but I'm trying to listen for when God speaks to me. And one of the ways that he did that was I stopped to check on a motorcycle rider at like 50 degrees outside. I don't understand it, but that's to each their own. But so I stopped to check on him because he was on the side of the road. And he told me that he was on his way to church. He was just checking a map because he had come to an intersection. So we're all at an intersection several times a day, right? Do I go left? Do I go right? Do I watch this show? Do I watch that show? Do I call this person? Call that person? Do I answer the phone? Do I hang up? Do I click on that site? Or do I just shut it off? And so here's this guy who is at an intersection, and he tells me that he is trying to make sure that he gets to church in Wilsonville. And he needed to know which direction was going to get him there. So I pointed him in the right direction and encouraged him to get to church on time. And then noticed that on his vest, it said Ephesians 6:12. Now, as soon as I start to read this verse, you're going to know exactly what I'm talking about. But off the top of my head, I didn't know what Ephesians 6:12 was. And so I went back to my car and I pulled it up on the Bible app. And here's what it says. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And so that has been on my mind ever since. Because that's exactly what I've been going through. And I didn't realize it. I thought that it was just me being irrational and kind of a pansy. And maybe I was, to an extent. But we're all affected by different things in different ways. And when I finally realized that, I realized why it was that the praising was what helped me so much. Because this is not, it's not a department thing. It's not a work thing. It's not a family thing. Whatever you're going through, it's not what it seems. It's a spiritual battle. And there's a constant battle going on for your spirit. And I got on the defense where I really should have been on the offense. I really should have been the whole time. When we are reactive to things, we're likely going to fail. But when we're proactive, that's when we generally come out on top, right? D-Day was not reactive. They made a plan and attempted to catch the Germans by surprise. They say the best defense is a good offense. Sometimes they say vice versa. I don't know. But what I'm convinced of is that the devil will do whatever he can to get us on our heels. And when we're on our heels, that's when we're living a reactive spiritual life. So I guess the point of this whole thing is praise the Lord, give thanks, read your Bible, pray, find a group of folks that are going to support you in this, because that is being proactive. You never know when the trials are going to come. Jesus was telling his disciples when they went out, and there was one person who was suffering an illness, and I don't remember exactly what it was, but this just came to mind. They were not able to heal him, and Jesus healed him. And when they asked him why, he said, these ones can only come out, or these can only be defeated by fasting and prayer. And, well, how are they supposed to know that, right? Well, the point is, if you're living a proactive spiritual life, you're gonna do the work before you face the demon, before you face the trial. Because then you're going to be ready. And you're going to take it to them. Now, I love the story of Joshua. And it's actually where we've been studying at church. And so it is fresh in my mind. But when they go to Jericho, they have an encounter with what we call a Christophany, an Old Testament view of Jesus, okay? So Jesus meets Joshua, and Joshua says, are you for us or for our enemies, Jesus? Or this, what they call the angel of the Lord, said, no. He said, no, not for you or your enemies, no. But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. So why would he say no? Why isn't he for us? Well, it's because we are supposed to be on his side. He's God. We're supposed to be on his side. But what he tells them is that when they get to Jericho, they're going to march around this wall. And I'm not going to go through the whole story, but basically, they walk around this wall, they do nothing, and nothing in their own power, and God knocks down the wall. And they end up ultimately killing all of these military men in this walled city, but they went on the offensive. Those who were behind the wall, those were defensive. Okay, so spiritually speaking, you and I are supposed to be the ones that are marching around this wall, and we're supposed to be taking it to the enemy. We're not supposed to be the ones that are behind the wall, scared, and waiting for the enemy to come to us. So I'm going to finish this up because I know I'm talking kind of slow and everything else, but here's the thing. I'm going to finish this up with the rest of this this passage from Ephesians. So as we know, our battle is not against flesh and blood. And we're going to verse 13 here. It says, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So there you have it. There's how you defeat evil. It doesn't say build a wall. It doesn't say, and listen, that was no political statement whatsoever between the U.S. and Mexico. Okay. That's, don't take it that way. What I'm saying is, let's be proactive spiritually. Let's take the fight to the devil. And by that, I mean, spend time in the Word, which is what it says here. This is how you take it to the devil. Spend time in the Word. Okay, build your faith. And you build your faith by time in the Word, by praising God, and by asking. You can ask for God to build your faith. I've had to do that. The belt of truth. Be truthful. Take this word at face value. Righteousness. None of us is righteous, not one. Romans 5 says, but Jesus is righteous. And as a saved person, we have Jesus living in us. And as such, God sees us as his son, Jesus Christ. Okay, so we have the righteousness of Jesus Christ in us. All right. I think I've taken enough of your time. So, thanks everybody for listening. I appreciate it. I am sorry for the long hiatus. I don't think that we'll be dealing with that again anytime soon, because we actually have at least one in the near future, a very exciting interview that I think you're really going to like. Let's see. Besides that, we're on Facebook, Thin Line Believers, Instagram, Thin Line Believers. Again, if this is beneficial, please share it with somebody else. And if there's a topic or somebody that you'd like us to interview about the faith, or about faith as a cop or a veteran, firefighter, paramedic, dispatcher, whatever, let us know. Thinlinebelievers@gmail.com. And until next time, God bless. Take care. Thanks for putting up with my voice. Good night.